that. I have a mental block. I get so anxious that Dorothy has to hold me back because I try to get up to start speaking before the passage is read. And so I get chomping at the bit and I'm ready to go. It is a joy to be together, guys. The opportunity to come together to worship God. We need to stop and count our blessings. And we need to recognize where those blessings come from as we do that. Because when we stop to do that and we recognize that God is the giver of all blessings, I believe we're going to desire to want to give Him praise and worship. And that's what we strive to do. And it's true that we need to do it as He says, because it's kind of like giving Dorothy a shotgun for her birthday. I don't think that would go over too well. I would be best to not give her shells with it. But it's the same with God. Okay, guys, God is not going to be pleased if we come to Him in such a way that He doesn't want. And so we need to look at what God says and do it in that way. I want to look today about a subject that is so very important. I'm very proud of the love and the joy that we have together. I believe that we are united. We're united in spirit and purpose. We're united in doctrine. We're united in desire. We're united in purpose. And I believe that is excellent and the way that God says that it should be. But I also understand that even though we may have things together, we need to make sure that we're encouraged to continue that, and that we also understand what are the guidelines that God has given us to be able to do that in a way that's pleasing to Him. Being united is a very important thing in the Christian walk. But we must be united God's way. You can unite two cats by their tail and drape them over a clothesline. And those cats are united, but not in a very good way. And so we need to be united in God's way. And one of the things that I like to say often is that if the church is not a taste of heaven, we're messing up somewhere. We've got to always be united in proper way that we can be doing what God says, and we can be have a sense of love, a sense of comfort, a sense of support and strength from one another and from God. But these things are very important as we recognize that. So we're going to be looking at unity today and the way that we're supposed to be doing that. And so as we look at this, I want to begin by noticing that, number one, we're to be united as a body. Now, stop to think about your physical body, okay? You know, when my mind works, my hands move, my fingers work, and my mind is controlling my body. And kind of like if I have something that I need to do, both hands will work together. My feet take me to where I need to be. My eyes help me to look at what I need to see. My ears help me to hear the things that will help my body to know what to do. And that's the way a body is. Now, the church in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 is the body of Jesus. That means Jesus is the head. He's the one that tells the body what to do. You and I need to be that organism that works together following the head, Jesus Christ. If we're not listening to Jesus, we're not a part of His body. We've got to be listening to Him, and so making sure. And so as we recognize this, we've got to see that we have a responsibility to work together as the body of Jesus Christ. I want to go to the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. Now, in this particular context, he's talking about the body. And he's telling us that the body of Christ is one single organization, has many members. But notice when that verse it says, "But now are they many members, yet but one body." Let me tell you something that's so neat about the Lord's church. And I've seen an amazing situation here to where we all do different things. We all have different strengths. We all have different weaknesses and different abilities. And what is so important is that each one in the body here is working to try to do the things that they can do to help the body to go forward. And that's what we need to be doing. All of us have different strengths, and we need to work within those areas to help the body to grow and go forward. And the thing is, we work together. Can you imagine if all of us wanted to do the same job? What if everybody wanted to fill out the cards and send them out, and they didn't want anybody else to do it? It wouldn't work. We got... Crystal was starting to get interested in some of that, and Shelly's taken on a lot of responsibility lately, and so, you know, isn't it kind of neat how we can all do different things? My hands can't do what my feet do. But this is one of the things that I think we need to recognize. They used to say that the appendix was not necessary and they would take it out at any whim, right? They've decided that that's probably not the best thing, and so they don't do it unless it's necessary now. But do you ever feel sometimes that you're not as important as you would like to be? Do you ever feel sometimes that you're insignificant in the body? Well, I'll tell you what. You know what would happen if somebody would take away, if you quit doing what you can do? You need to do the things that you can do, and you need to be working together with the rest of the body in such a way that will bless the body and help it to grow and to go forward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 through 25, notice what it says. Give me just a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, and so we're going to look at verses 21 through 25. Now remember, this is following up that passage that we just looked at. He says, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much more these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but the God which hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." I want us to notice here, there's several points that we could bring out within this passage. But he's saying, look, don't feel that your part is less important. I'm going to be talking this afternoon a little bit about Mary and her part. Those of you that know Mary knows that there's not a lot of physical things she could do. But those of you that know the things that Mary was involved in was trying to do what she could. And there is nobody here that ever looked down on Mary as inferior but as a valuable part. Right, Laura? And so we loved Mary and she did the things that she could do. Sometimes she would pick up a lot of people and bring them to church and she would say, "I just wish I could do more." And I said, "Mary, do you realize how important that is?" Because there's many times that Dorothy and I would pick up 2 and 3 loads of people to bring them to church. And so that's quite a challenge. By the time you bring one load, you go back and get another load. You bring them and you go back and get another load. And so we did a lot of that over the years. And we're thinking, "Oh, Mary, you're a godsend. You're a blessing." And she thought she was insignificant. But Mary was a servant. Guys, I want you to recognize that members of the body that seem to be less insignificant are just as valuable as those that are not. The key is, are you doing your part? Find your role and get busy and do it with all of your heart and everything that you have. Now, I want to notice in verse 25 a couple things about this unity. It says that one part of the body does not look down on another part of the body. And the reason is so that there should be no schism in the body. Now, a schism is a division. There's no place for division. And what happens is sometimes somebody may look down on somebody else and say they're not important because I've got a more important job, or they're not doing a very important job. And God's saying, stop that. God is saying, make sure that you, as he phrases it in the last part, he said, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So as we look and try to go forward in the body of Christ, we need to make sure that as a body, we never look down on a member because their part in our mind doesn't seem to measure up. But we should elevate those members that seem to be less important. And that is our responsibility to make sure that we do. And when we have that care for one another in the body, we will be united the way that God says that we should be. And when we are united the way God that says that we should be, we're going to find that good things will happen. Almost 2 years ago, we bought this building. Now, how are we going to fit all these people in that old building? You think about that. We didn't have room over there. And so God provided. But the reason that we've been blessed is because we're trying to follow God's care about concern for one another. And so let's make sure that we make each part of the body feel important for their job. It's kind of like, you know, and I failed. And I'm going to do it now. John gave another excellent talk on Wednesday night, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go tell John that he did a good job afterwards. And so, do you think I remembered? No. And so then I was thinking about it the next day. We were traveling, and I'm thinking, I forgot to tell John that I appreciated, and he did an excellent job on his devotion Wednesday evening. And so I was going to text him. Do you think I would remember? No, I was going like crazy trying to take care of a wedding on Sunday, or on Friday and Saturday, and so I forgot all about it. So I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do it publicly. Okay? We need to compliment one another. Because when we receive a compliment, we're going to be more excited to go forward and do our job the best of our ability, and we're going to give more. And so, thank you, John. You did an excellent job. And I do appreciate it. Just because I forgot to tell you Wednesday night doesn't mean I didn't appreciate it. Let's spread that around to everybody. Okay? I failed. And the reason I did is because I'm always looking around everybody else and trying to talk to everybody, get all of our visitors in and deal with that. And so I forget those things. But the body is so very important. Now, I want to go to Romans chapter 16, and I want to notice here the care that we have for one another. So Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 4, the passage says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, and to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles." Now I want us to notice what's going on here. Each part of the body is to protect the other parts of the body. All of us have our weak side, okay? We've got a lot of love here, and somebody's got your back. Okay? We're there to help, and we're there to strengthen, and we're there to go forward. And the thing is, you know, as we talk to one another, I hear the concern so often about, well, am I going to be stepping out of line if I do this? Carmen's so neat. I love her. She wrote signs on the refrigerator, and she asked first. She said, "Do you think this will work?" Because people were spilling stuff and leaving it in the refrigerator, and she didn't want anybody to be upset. And so she didn't sign it. So I signed it for her. And I said, and she said, "If I word this this way, do you think that'll be okay?" And I said, "I think that sounds great." But you see, there's the thing where she's looking out for others. Guys, let's do that. Let's keep it up. Don't let your guard down. Because when we let our guard down, our unity becomes two cats hanging over a clothesline. And that ain't the Lord's church. That's the devil's work. That's when drama starts. There is no place for drama in the Lord's church. It's a place of security and comfort and support. And if you ever find in your life that it's slipping over into opposite of that, you need to get your act together and have the same care for the body as you do for yourself. And make sure that we keep the unity going in the way that it should. Turn back one page to Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." You know, as we look at the body, everybody has different blessings. Okay? And it's easy to look at somebody else and recognize they've got a blessing that I don't have, and then we can have a grudge towards them because they've got a blessing that we don't have. Is that what God tells us to do? No. Look, God knows each of us. He knows our hearts. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses. And God gives us what we need to go to heaven. If you want my opinion, that's why Lazarus was the situation he was in. He was a beggar. He was poor. And I think that's because God gave him, allowed him to have in his life what he needed to go to heaven. The rich man also had what he needed to go to heaven, but he didn't use it properly. That's my opinion. That's the only thing I can tell you about that story of the rich man and Lazarus on that account. You know, why is the righteous man, why is he suffering in life? Sometimes, guys, we need to suffer. I've seen people that were hurting, they finally got their life in line with God. I don't like to suffer. But sometimes that's what it takes. And I'm going to trust God to direct my life. But when it comes to good things, don't begrudge somebody else for their good things. You know what? We need to rejoice with them over the good things in their lives. Whatever it may be. Because if we have the opposite, we're going to start becoming the two cats over the clothesline. Because we're not following God's plan. We're also to weep with them that weep. Every one of us has struggles in life. In the dark valleys of my life, I was so thankful to have brethren that came out of the woodwork and gave me support. Nobody looked at me and said, "Okay, you're just getting what you deserve." Nobody shunned me because of the problems in my life, but they came together to weep with me. Guys, that's what brings unity. That's why God commanded it. Let me tell you something. Do not ever look down on what God commands. A lot of times we struggle and strain with the commands of God. But it's the commands of God, if we follow them, is going to give us a wonderful life. A lot of times, you know, the straining of it, we don't want to give in because we want to do something different, you know. And of course, I understand that as a man, you know, I have things, I just don't want to do it that way, you know. But if it's God that says to do it, let's just do it. That'll bless your life. Young people, I want you to right now determine that you're going to give in to God. You're going to live it now. You're going to give it all you've got. You've got your whole life ahead of you. But you're making your bed. And you're going to have to lay in it for your lifetime. Those of us that are older, we've already made that bed. Now we're going to be making tomorrow's bed today. But in your time of life, you really need to stop and think about it. Live your life the way God says. Those of us that are older who make mistakes and we're still paying for the consequences of our mistakes and we're thinking, you know, I wish I hadn't done that. Okay, but we're here to say that God's got a plan. And you look at His plan and you follow that plan no matter what. And you'll find a much better life. Guys, remember, guard your life properly and be humble before God and follow Him. And you will never regret the benefits that come as a result of that. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. And this was the verse that I wanted to focus on within that reading that we had just a few minutes ago. Because it's so very important, because it helps us to see how the body fits together. And it says within that passage, it says, from which the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Now, let's just focus on those words for just a minute. The whole body fitly joined together and compacted. And so the whole body, the body of Jesus, the church, is fitly joined together. Not only is it fitly joined together, but it's compacted. Notice the togetherness. Notice how we are part of one another. And we are part of one another. We better be part of one another. But so we're each a part of that. But notice that which every joint supplies. Do you think that this joint would work very good if this one quit working? Do you think my finger would work real good if I didn't have muscles in there? Guys, we need to recognize, you need to recognize, like me, you need to supply. Your part is just as important as anybody else. Whether you're a muscle or a tendon or skin or a bone, it doesn't make any difference. You need to work at your part. One of the things that we always try to do here is when everybody needs a job. Because until you've got a job, you do not have ownership in the Lord's body. And so we need a job, and we need to work towards that, because that will help us. And so notice here, and I'm going to begin again with this verse again. In verse 16, from whom the whole body, notice, not just part of it, but the whole body, fitly joined and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part. Notice, every part is working. And they're not just working, but it's effectual working. They're bringing an effect with what they do. And every part measures up. And they do it, it makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Notice what happens when every part of the body works together. It increases. And you know what's kind of nice? When every part does that, you know what happens when one part of your body doesn't work as well as it should? I went fishing yesterday, and fishing off the bank is a killer. Because there's a part of my body that doesn't work good. And after a few casts, I'm already asking the question, is it time to quit? Because it hurts so bad. And my whole body is brought down because of that one vertebra in my back that does, it hurts terribly when I got this fishing rod out here. You know, I'm thinking, you know, do I want to do another cast or do I want to forget it? And if they're not biting very good, I really want to just go home. Really. If you are a sore spot in the body, you're hurting the whole body. Don't be a sore spot. It's kind of nice because we don't have any here. Maybe tomorrow, okay? And if you happen to be that sore spot, let's get you fixed, okay? I might go to the chiropractor because I went, and he got that upper one, and now the bottom, lower one hurt. Fishing, okay? But it's time to go trolling anyway. But, guys, when the body works together, it grows. We didn't buy this building because we were satisfied with 30 people. We bought this building to use it for the Lord. We bought this building with the desire to reach out into the community and grow more Christians. We bought this building to be a blessing for the kingdom of God, and that's what we intend to do. And we have to have that unity
to be able to do it. And so let's make sure that we pull together. The next thing that I want to look at as we continue this is that we are to be united with love. Love is something that I'm going to do my best to bless your life, even if you were mean to me, and you would not be mean to me. I know that. But if you were, I would still be kind and considerate to you. Now, sometimes we all have bad days, right? Anybody here have bad days? Better watch that flower. I'm going to knock it over. I have my bad days and I don't feel good. Okay? At the wedding on Friday, there were a few people that were struggling big time. And Rachel had been working for about a year getting this all planned up and ready, and she was about wore out. And she told me there was a few times I had to just go sit down and close my mouth because I was going to say something I shouldn't say. She was tired. She was having a difficult day. And we all have those. But guys, we need to understand that we practice love. Okay, it was love that kept her quiet. Just like it's love that keeps me quiet sometimes. And so when we fail, we're going to hurt the body. We will hurt that unity that God designed for us to have. I want to go to Matthew chapter 12 and I want to look at verse 25. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. Jesus says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Hey, look, if we can't deal with those bad days in a proper way with love, we will not be united, guys. Now, I say that knowing that we've had some difficult days, but we practiced love, didn't we? We were kind. We tried to stress out privately. Okay? We tried to bite the tongue when we didn't want to bite the tongue. Okay? It's love that does that. It's not weakness. It takes strength to bite our tongue when we know we just need to be quiet, but we really want to say something we shouldn't say. And so that is a very crucial element of the Lord's church. And a Lord's church, if it doesn't do that, it's going to be divided. Division is a terrible thing in the body. You know, what happens when you cut off your arm? There's no sense in that. Okay? We need to be united the way God says. You know, if we cut off our arm, you know, what now that what you could do? You're down to one hand, you know. I know a man that hurt this arm when he was about 4 years old and never grew after that. And so it's just kind of shriveled up the thing there. It's small. It's a four-year-old size. And so, you know, he's always doing everything one-handed. And he uses that catches on a thumb or something to help him work. But it's kind of useless. Division's a terrible thing. It's got no place in the Lord's church. We need to be united, but we naturally have to be united in God's way. You know, a marriage without love, how long is it going to last? It's a shame. Marriage is not lasting nowadays as it should anyway. And we're going to have love, because when we don't have love, it's a strain, isn't it? Okay? It taxes us at every instance. The church is kind of like a marriage. In fact, it is like a marriage because we're married to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the husband. You and I, as part of that body, are the bride. We submit to Jesus. And so we've got to have that loving relationship both among ourselves and with the Lord. And so I want to go back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I love this passage because it says so much about love in such a short space of time. But it's very important because it helps us to see how to define what love actually is. In 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 4, it says, charity suffers long. And that's just, you put up with things for a long time. Okay, because Dorothy put up with an anger issue I had for many years. Can you imagine? She suffered long. She did it because she loved me. We need to do that in the Lord's church. Sometimes we've got imperfections. Anybody here got imperfections? Tim's the only one that doesn't have it. Becky's going to tell us different, I think. So, guys, we suffer long with one another when we have imperfections, and we've all got issues. Love is kind. The Lord's church, we got a lot of kindness here, and I love it. It's such a joy to be able to come to worship and involved with the body because I know there's kindness. Love does not envy. You know, I don't see envy here. We're all different walks of life. We've got different strengths and weaknesses, and I don't see any envy. We're just happy for the blessings that we have and that each other have. That's a wonderful thing. Love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. You know, I don't know of here anybody here that thinks they're more important than anybody else. And that's a good thing, because it'd be a lie. Because you're not. We're all equal, okay? But we also understand that we look up to one another and we put others on a pedestal and ourselves down. That's the way God says to do it. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. And we could look at all of those things, but the thing is, God is defining love. And He's telling us what love is. And so we need to make sure that it starts with our thoughts. If we begin to think thoughts that are not loving, we need to choke them down and stop. Keep big mouth shut. Okay? There's times that, you know, we just need to crawl into our corner. Rachel went over and sat on the couch and just sat there. And she was tired. We got to do the same thing. We've got to do the same thing. We do. But we got to keep it together. We just can't be satisfied that we've done this for a long time. We need to keep it going. And so we need to make sure we understand what love actually is. And we've got to be united in that way, because the world thinks of love in a certain way, but God thinks of it in the way that is right and proper. Now I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. And I want us to notice something there. Jesus makes this statement through the Apostle Peter. That's 2 Peter, I think. Let me double check that. I wrote it down wrong. I hate it when I do that. First Peter, yeah, 1 Peter 2:17. It is the right one. I looked at the wrong verse. Okay, that's the one. Okay, 1 Peter 1:17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. The brotherhood is the body of believers throughout the world that worships and serves God the way that He chooses. I know there can be struggles. I know there can be challenges. But God commands love of the brotherhood. Guys, we've got to make sure that we recognize what God says and that we follow God the way that God says that we are to follow Him. Guys, we need to love the local body as a whole. Now, that doesn't mean that the local body does not have challenges and struggles and imperfections. We need to work to correct all of those in the proper spirit that God has given us. But then we need to go forward and continue to love through those times. Because when our love begins to wane, the unity will slip and division will come. We need to keep that in mind. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, one page over, he says, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. He said to be all of one mind. Guys, I am very thrilled to be a part of such a body as this. We do have that one mind. Satan don't like it, and he doesn't want it to last until tomorrow. Satan can bring about challenges and struggles. He can bring about temptations that come from our own lust. But God is reminding us that we are to make sure that we continue and remain of one mind. And he helps us to understand, I believe, how to do that by saying that we are to have compassion one of another. Jesus looked on the people and he had compassion because they were as shepherd without sheep, or with sheep without a shepherd. And so he recognized that these people were probably living miserable lives. And probably because of all their own wrongdoing and their own mistakes. But he looked out on them as people that needed compassion. And Jesus gave that compassion. He gave them the proper direction that they needed to be going and helped them to see what was right and good in their lives. We need compassion of one another. Now, as we finish this, we will notice that we need to have compassion on the lost as well. That's this afternoon. We'll look at that. But we need to recognize, guys, that unity is required by God. You don't have a choice if you want to be His people. We don't. We have to. We also need to recognize that by giving in and being united as God has said, it makes this wonderful situation that we have here. The love that we share, the good feeling that we have when we're around one another, it's because we're striving to follow the guidelines that He's given us. Using some good judgment, young people, follow God. Those of us that are old, you better keep following God because we might be dead tomorrow. Don't have no guarantee. I've scraped little ones off the floor. And I've scraped young ones off the highway. You don't know what age you're going to end this life. Live for God today with everything you possess. It will bless your life and it will give you an amazing eternity that you will never regret the sacrifices that you made here. But God tells us that we need to take advantage of the salvation that He offers first. God has done His part. He gave us Jesus. He died on the cross. We commemorated His death a few minutes ago when we partook of the Lord's Supper. But He shed that blood and He tells us how we take advantage of contacting that blood. We do it by reading and studying the Bible and gaining a faith in Him. Romans 10:17. And you can't please God without faith. Hebrews 11:6. It's not going to happen. Faith, incidentally, means that you're going to be following what He says. Just a good feeling about God is not a Bible faith that it gets you to heaven. You've got to repent of your sins. Jesus said, I'll tell you no, but except you repent, you're going to perish. Luke 13:3. That means you could change your ways. I want to change my ways because I don't want to go against what God says because I love a good life. And I have it by following Him. He says that I must confess Him as the Son of God in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. He is the Son of God. He's got the right to tell you what to do. And if you mouth that, you're saying that He has the right to run your life. I want Him to run mine because I know it'll be a lot better if I do, if He does it. But He also says that I must be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sin. Got to be for that reason. That's what He said. That's where we would contact the blood of Jesus Christ. that gives forgiveness. Now, we can fight, we can struggle, but in Acts chapter 2, those that gladly received his word were baptized the same hour. They just was baptized right away because they recognized that it was essential. But you see what? In the remainder of that chapter, you notice that they kept on living for God. And you and I must do the same. Until we die. Okay? Today, tomorrow, 106? It don't matter. There's a lady down there who's 106 years old. Can you imagine that? And she's still doing pretty good. Whew. Man. If you get to be 106, you better still be serving God. Because you're going to give an answer. If you're not God's, you need to become God's. His possession. If you are and you're not faithful, you're going to have to change. And you better do it quick, because you might not have tomorrow. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation this morning, please do it now while we stand and while we sing.